Now time to turn our attention to the international papers. Deeptika Laurent has been scouring them for us. And Deeptika, you want to start with reactions to that collision between a cargo ship and a US military tanker in the North Sea.
Yeah, that's right, Eve. Lots of pictures splashed on the front pages today. This is from The Guardian, the British daily here, going with this this picture of that collision between the oil tanker and the cargo ship, noting that there is still one person reported missing. This is from the Daily Mirror, the also a British daily here, going with the headline, Catastrophe, North Sea Inferno, it says. A catastrophe, really, in many senses of the word. The cargo ship was carrying 15 containers of sodium cyanide, and the U.S. Vessel was carrying jet fuel. And that word catastrophe also evoked by the Times of London today, which notes that it could be a catastrophe for the environment too. The paper warning of the potentially devastating consequences of this collision for fauna, seabirds, seals and fish, particularly if the oil spill reaches the east coast of Yorkshire. The timing is really bad too. This is, of course, as we head into spring, it's breeding season for many seabirds who come inshore to breed during the warmer months, Eve.
And Deeptika, you found an article in the Italian press looking notably at that US oil tanker with questions over it, and notably the Greek refinery where it loaded fuel.
It's really interesting, this article from La Repubblica, which today talks about the Stena Immaculate, that's the name of the tanker, which is a special tanker, part of the Pentagon's operational reserve. Now, this fleet was created 2 years ago to counter any scenarios opened up by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Now, this oil tanker was carrying aviation fuel, so jet fuel, for U.S. squadrons deployed in England. And the paper explains that it had been loaded in the Greek terminal of Agioi Theodoroi at a refinery that has obtained billion-dollar contracts with the Pentagon. Now, the problem is this refinery was also targeted in a Washington Post article. This one here dates back to 2 years ago, so 2023, in which the Washington Post explained that this refinery had released smuggled oil from Russia onto Western markets. Now, the origin of this crude oil had been disguised thanks to numerous changes of ownership, but the Post was able to track back and show us that this Greek refinery had actually, in fact, released smuggled Russian oil onto the Western markets, European markets.
Okay, interesting. Meanwhile, Deeptika, the arrest of Columbia University student Mahmoud Khalil, arrested despite having, by the deportation officers, despite having a green card, that's getting a lot of reactions.
In particular, because of the legitimacy of arresting somebody and essentially threatening to deport this person despite having a green card. Now, Donald Trump has said his arrest will be the first of many. Indeed, the Wall Street Journal today says the arrest of Mahmoud Khalil is also a new era in U.S. college campus politics. Now, Mahmoud Khalil, as you said, is a green card holder. There are suspicions that U.S. authorities will try to revoke the card and deport him, something that his lawyer says they will definitely fight against. Khalil played a prominent role last year in student protests against the war in Gaza that we saw really engulfing many U.S. universities. Donald Trump accused him of engaging in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic and anti-American activity. The Wall Street Journal reports that he was also inside a campus library last week during an occupation to protest the expulsion of two students. Now, the Wall Street Journal today recalling that Columbia University has become, in a way, ground zero in Donald Trump's campaign to dismantle what he sees as extremist leftist ideology on U.S. campuses. It follows a decision by the White House to cancel nearly $400 million in grants and contracts for Columbia University. That was last week. It's garnered a lot of, this was the analysis, it's garnered an opinion in the Wall Street Journal where this opinion writer says it'll be interesting now to see how defiant other student leaders will be, particularly if that defiance can get them sent home. This writer also noting that the arrests represent a huge change in the status quo and marks Donald Trump's administration's determination to address either the unwillingness or inability of elite universities to maintain the basics of civilized behavior. So the opinion in the Wall Street Journal, rather favorable to what the government is doing, but in the New York Times, this writer here, Michelle Goldberg, calls it the greatest threat to free speech since the Red Scare, referring to McCarthyism in the 1950s.
Interesting to see as well, Deepthi, the papers that say anti-Israeli and those that say pro-Palestinian, because it was protests against the war more than anything else. But anyway, US politics and television, never too far away at the moment, Deepthi, but it seems like it's pervaded another Netflix show.
Absolutely. That show is Love is Blind. The matchmaking show is in its eighth season. It's wildly successful. It's spawned countless versions in different countries. It sees singles meeting and falling in love without actually seeing each other face to face. So they don't actually meet face to face. The eighth season did deliver some quite provocative moments, notably the finale of this season in which Sarah Carton rejected Ben Mezenga, the two candidates. She said she simply couldn't reconcile with his political views or lack thereof. The season was filmed in Minneapolis, which is, of course, where George Floyd was murdered in 2020. She asked him about the Black Lives Matter movement, to which he said, "I never really thought about it." So ultimately, she said that she just simply couldn't have a relationship with somebody who was so indifferent about such huge political events. Now, conservatives, of course, have jumped to Mezenga's defense. The season quite decidedly becoming also about whether love is about having the same politics, Eve. Something also controversial, let's end on this. An Australian pizza joint that has, in Melbourne, has unveiled its smoked ham, mozzarella and orange slices pizza, an alternative to the much reviled pizza with pineapple on it. It's, though, not even the worst one you can find. I can see you there.
I'm thinking is you're Australian, Deepthi. Is it something you would tuck into?
Absolutely not. It's not even the worst pizza you can find. Apparently, in Melbourne, you can find a full breakfast pizza. In Sydney, you can get
that
chicken.
That sounds better. Is that like...
I don't even really want to know what's on that pizza. But in Sydney, you can get a chicken tikka masala pizza.
Ooh.
And in Brisbane, a pumpkin and hummus pizza. So I guess they're trying to offend every nationality
nice.
On this planet.
Deepthi Lawal, thanks a lot for that look at the international paper. It's going to have to take a very quick break now, back in just a few minutes.